We read in Scripture that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And we also read that God is love. So God is light and God is love. And the first thing that is said when He began to recreate the earth in Genesis 1, He said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. That was the first word that God spoke. And then it says that there was light. Maybe you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Let there be light, God said. You know, before that, in verse 2, it says the earth was in a chaotic situation. It was all, you know, there was no shape, there was no form, and it was dark. And it was without any form or beauty. And something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, we say that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then whatever God creates perfectly and beautifully. But in verse 2 we read that the earth was formless, void, and it was dark. And then the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters, it says. And when the Holy Spirit began to move upon that chaotic world, and then with the operation of God's word, when God spoke, "Let there be light," and there it says, there was light. Light appeared because God was there. God was light, and because of God's light, light appeared there because God entered there. And then in verse 4 it says, God separated light from darkness. God separated. See, the first thing that God did when He created the world, this present earth that we are living in, the first thing that God did was to separate. People don't like the word separation. They always speak about unity. God is God of unity. That is true. But not so much as God is God of separation. I was looking at the concordance, how many times the word unity comes in the Bible and how many times the word separate or separation comes in the Bible. Separate comes more than unity in the Bible. And God began that work of separation on day one, and in the first page of the Bible, the first chapter, verse 4, God separated light from darkness. It's very important for us to remember that God is not a God of mixture, adding light and darkness together and water and earth together, and heaven and earth together, and righteousness and unrighteousness together, darkness and light together. No. God, He lives in the holiest of holies, and nobody can approach Him, nobody can see Him and live, He said. He is such a holy God that when He spoke, things came into existence. And the first thing that He did was to separate light from darkness. And that is what He has been up to in our lives too. When the light of God shone in us, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, when they came and convicted us of our sins, and heavenly light shone in us, darkness was dispelled. And when darkness was dispelled, the glory, the light of the Lord came in and dwelt in us. And Jesus said, when he was in this earth, he said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, little later to the disciples, you are the light of the world. So now Jesus is no longer here, but his spirit is here, dwelling in us. And he wants us to live as children of light, and live as children of light, being separated from darkness that's in this world, which is under the influence of the prince of darkness, who is Satan, the devil. And you know, in the very first chapter, you see three times God separating in 3 days certain things. First, we read in verse 4, God separated light from darkness. And we read in verse 7, God separated water on the earth from the water above the earth. You know, there are two places where water is, according to verse 7 of chapter 1 of Genesis. One is in the seas and oceans here on earth, and another is what we get rain from the sky. I don't know fully about that, but God separated the waters above from waters below. That's in verse 7. And in verse 14, God separated the dry land from the water. See, in 6 days of creation, God separates in 3 days three different things: light from darkness, water, the water from earth, from water in the heavens, and water and land are separated. So God didn't mix water and earth together so that we can go around in muddy waters. He separated it, made land separately and water separately. So God, we saw his nature is to separate his children, who are children of light, from children of darkness. We read in Psalm 1, verse 5, that the ungodly and the wicked will not stand in the judgment, but the righteous will be there. That means the righteous will be separated from the ungodly and the wicked. So God makes a distinction always between his children and the children of the devil, the children of this world. We need to be convinced about it and think about it, that we who call themselves or ourselves as Christians are separate. God has separated us from this earth, and he has bought us with a price which is a very costly price, which is the very blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed upon the cross, which is more precious than silver and gold, Peter says. So this is the price that God paid. Even in the book of Acts 20, Paul says God bought his church with his blood. It says, it doesn't say that Jesus bought it. Of course, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. And it says God bought us with his blood. Peter says Jesus bought us with his precious blood, which cannot be compared with silver and gold. So when God has bought us for a purpose, is to cleanse us from darkness and from wickedness and from sin, and then to fill us with his Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of light, who is the spirit of power, who is the spirit of purity, and fill us with his spirit so that we can be separated from this earth and be no longer called children of the world or children of darkness, but children of God and children of light. That is what we are. If you have repented of your sins genuinely, thoroughly, completely, and you have that assurance that God has forgiven your sins, and the Spirit within you bears witness in your spirit that you are a child of God, then you belong to the kingdom of God. And we read that in 1 John 1:5, we read that this is the message that John is speaking and writing to believers. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Notice those words in these verses that I'm going to quote. These words, light and darkness, how often they come. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I hope you know that there is no darkness in light. Have you seen darkness or shadow of the sun? We have seen the shadow of the moon and the earth, where we have lunar and solar eclipse. But there is no such thing as the shadow of the sun. There is no shadow in the sun, and there is no shadow in the creator of the sun, who is brighter and more glorious than the sun, who is called the light of the world, who is called the creator of the world, who is called the creator of the sun, moon and stars and all the galaxies. He is light. And it says, in him there is no darkness at all. You see, we have darkness behind the light because it has a holder. And you can see darkness or shade or shadow of a candle. The body of the candle you can see, where there is a greater light against the candle. Then you can see the shadow of the candle, but not the light that is glowing there. So light has no shadow. So God has no shadow. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the one who is light. In him there is no shadow, he says. So God has no shadow. But there is a verse in Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. That is a figurative language. It's not literal. God has no shadow. That the meaning of that verse is that who is under his wings. That is the meaning of it. Like we heard, we sang this morning, you know, held by his hand and comforted on his bosom. That is our place. And in God there is no shadow or variation. He doesn't say yes today and no tomorrow. God is God of light. And you know, there is a stark distinction scripture makes between the children of God and children of the world. You turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 onwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 onwards. It says, this is Paul the apostle speaking to the believers at Corinth. He is speaking to them, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Do not so much associate yourself with unbelievers as to mingle with them and get mixed with them. He says here, don't be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? You see the contrast that the apostle makes here. A believer is called righteousness, an unbeliever is called lawlessness. A believer is called light, an unbeliever is called darkness. And verse 15, what harmony has Christ with Belial? A believer is called, say in a sense, Christ. You are the body of Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. And an unbeliever is called son of Belial. Belial is Satan, the devil. Or what has a believer in common with unbeliever? We are called believers, and those who don't believe or those who do not know Jesus Christ, they are called unbelievers. And what agreement, verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You and me are called the temple of God. The Bible says it very clearly, you are the temple of God because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if God dwells in me and you, we are the temple of God. In the new covenant, we do not have a temple like they had in the old covenant. The Bible says you are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. And it says, what fellowship has, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. Again, we read that word, separate. Come out of them and be separate, and touch not any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. The Lord is very clear here in his mind. Come out of their midst and separate yourself, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Even in Revelation 18:4, we read there that God says, come out of her, means out of Babylonic system, Babylonian system. Come out of that. That means these Babylonian churches where they don't preach about sin and repentance and holiness, but preach only about health, wealth, gospel, and tickle your ears with that and collect your money and send you. God's word never speaks of taking a collection in the church, an offering in the church, and much less tithes. That is the old covenant teaching, and many preachers, many churches today hang on to that and preach about the tithes and tell people that God's curse will come upon you if you do not tithe. That is Old Testament. You read that. That was written to the priests, not to the laity. It was not written to you and me. It was written to the priests in the Old Covenant to bring the tithes, and Old Covenant people to bring the tithe into the temple for the Levites. That was like income tax. So today you are already paying income tax. You don't have to pay because our God is not a pauper. He doesn't need your money. But in the New Covenant it speaks about giving. And God loves a cheerful giver. That's all it says about giving. It never says that every Sunday you should give an offering to the Lord, or every month at the beginning you must bring your tithes to the Lord. That is old covenant. That is not the new covenant, my brothers and sisters. This is how they capitalize and encash on you in other churches and make millions and millions of rupees, crores of rupees, and becoming richer and richer. They run churches like corporates, you know, profit center. That is not God's will. God's will is that you be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you offer the only offering that God's word speaks about here is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. What is being living sacrifice? Living sacrifice is that I offer myself as a sacrifice while I am still living. That is living sacrifice. Not when I am dead and gone. What do I sacrifice when I am dead and gone? When I am still alive, I give my eyes to the Lord, I give my hands to the Lord, I give my mind to the Lord, so that He can think through my mind, He can see through my eyes, He can help through my hands and bless people through my life. That is being living sacrifice. Saying sorry when I'm wrong or when I wrong somebody, and asking for forgiveness and setting matters right between God and men, like Paul said in Acts 23 and Acts 24. He said, I always make it a point to live with a clear conscience both before God and men, he said. He said, from childhood until now, until this day, I have kept my conscience clear, he said. And the high priest said, slap him. Because the high priest had not obeyed that. He had not kept his conscience clear like Paul. So he felt guilty. And he ordered somebody to slap Paul. That's the situation. And this verse that we quote many, many times to our young people, especially the verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6 that we read, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We tell it to our young people when they're considering marriage. And the scripture is very clear, brothers and sisters, young people, that if you are a born-again believer walking in the light, a child of God, child of light and child of the day, if you're walking in the light, the Bible is very clear, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, those who are walking in darkness, those who are of the night, those who are not God's children, lest you have problem all your life in your family, married life. And some people say, no, I'll get married and bring that person to the church. By bringing a person to the church, the person will not get born again, brother. Sister, he will not get converted. His heart will not be changed. Unless, and of course, God has mercy on them and be gracious to them. Otherwise, it's impossible. Do not ever try to disobey God's word and go ahead. We asked one young boy who was considering an unbeliever from some other church. And one of our brothers, elders, asked him, what if God... if that girl is not God's will for you, will you drop it? And you know what he said? He said no. And we couldn't help him. He went ahead and got married. God knows where he is and how he is. You know, if you ask God, when you know clearly the perfect will of God written in Scripture, that you should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in marriage, and you go ahead thinking that, oh, that boy is good or that girl is good, is God-fearing, it's a good family and all that, you're disobeying God. You know, it is equal to what Balaam did. You know about the prophet Balaam? God told him, do not go. When he prayed to the Lord, can I go with these people whom King Balak has sent? God said, no, don't go. And he said, okay. Then he told those people, no, I'm not coming. God has told me not to come. And King Balak sent some more influential people the next time with more reward. And then again, a second time, Balaam asked God, beware of asking God a second time when he has already told you about that matter. If you ask a second time, God will say, okay, go ahead. And God said that to Balaam, go. Because you're bent upon going, your heart is set on the king's reward and honor. He said, go. And he went, and you know what happened afterwards. 24,000 Israelites got killed because of his disobedience, and he himself was killed in the battle. Ultimately, he ended up ended up in hell, who was once upon a time a prophet of God. It can happen to you also. If you know the perfect will of God and you pray in spite of that, asking God to make an exception to your request, God will say, okay. There's a verse in Psalm 106 verse 15, it says the Israelites asked for various things, and it says God gave them the request but sent leanness into their souls or sickness in their midst. Would you like to be like that? God will say, okay, you go ahead, and you suffer the rest of your life with leanness in your soul or no blessing whatsoever. Do you want that kind of life with second best permissive will of God or perfect will of God, which is already laid out in the scriptures? You decide, my dear brothers and sisters, what you want to choose. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 19. God told Jeremiah, if you return, then I will restore you. See, there is always condition in God's promises. If you return, I will restore you. And before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless. See, this is very important, brothers and sisters, in your life, in my life. If I know which is precious and which is worthless, which is good and which is bad, and which is profitable and which is not profitable, if I know that and I act upon it and I extract the precious from the worthless, you know, in not far from here, there is gold mine, now it is of course closed, called Kolar Gold Fields, KGF. There used to be a lot of gold during the British's time. And they extracted tons and tons of it and took away from our country. But you know, I heard that 1 ton of gold ore, 1 ton is 1,000 kilograms of gold ore, when they extract gold from that, you know how much gold they get? On an average, between 4 grams to 8 grams, and sometimes up to 12 grams. That is a good yield. And if you get more than that, that is excellent. But on an average, from 1,000 kg of gold ore, you get 4 grams of gold. You know what is a gram? That's 1,000th of a kilogram. So gold is sort of little Now spread all over 1 ton of ore, and in the gold mines they remove that and then put it in the smelting thing, and then they extract it, and it comes just about 4, 8, 12 grams of gold from a ton. That's why they closed it down, because the yield started coming less and less and less, and the cost of extracting gold became more than the gold itself. That's why they closed it down. So here God says, if you extract the precious from the worthless, what is the reward? You will become my spokesman. If you want to be God's spokesman, my dear brother, sister, do this. Extract the worthless, that means throw away the worthless from your life, and pursue, Paul says to Timothy, after righteousness, faith, love, purity, etc., with all those who call upon the name of the Lord. How do you know who call upon the name of the Lord? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know, when you are talking to people and what they are interested in, what they are talking about, shows what is there in their heart. If they are talking about cars and bikes and land and building and buying this and that, and all the time, this is what their heart is filled with. If they are talking about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, then you know the kingdom of God has come in their midst. And this is what the Lord said to Jeremiah: if we extract the worthless from the precious, then you'll be like my mouthpiece. And you know, once upon a time we were all like that. We were darkness. The Bible says, once you were darkness, but now you are light. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is, deeds of darkness and deeds of light. So it contrasts again, deeds of darkness and deeds of light. And thereby you will prove that you are children of light when you stop complaining. The next verse it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining. When grumbling and disputing and complaining is still in my life, that means there is still some alloy in me that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be cleansed in order that I may become pure gold. And verse 15 it says, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We are supposed to appear as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount. And we also read in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, you are all sons of light and sons of day. See the contrast again, day and night. Sons of light and sons of day, and we are not of night nor of darkness. Day and night, light and darkness. But the one who hates his brother, John says, the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. If you, brothers and sisters sitting here, you hate anybody sitting here, or you have something against a brother or a sister whom you cannot look in the eye, and talk to them with a clear face, with a smile on your face, then there is something wrong. There is some darkness, something wrong in your life. If that be the thing, you are not walking in the light according to this verse, 1 John 2:11. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and he does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The darkness, you know, if you continue in that, you become spiritually blind. That's what Paul also says to the Corinthians, the God of this world has blinded the minds or the eyes of the unbelieving. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. But if you continue in the darkness, even God cannot help unless you acknowledge that and repent of it. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, we saw in the first page of the Bible the light, and the last page of the Bible also you'll see about the light. God is light in the first page of the Bible. Let there be light, and God appeared, and the light came. And in the last page of the Bible, in Revelation 22 verse 5, in Revelation 22 verse 5, you know, in heaven there is no sun or moon or stars to give us light. You read that. That's where we all want to go. Most of us are heading there. We want to go, and it's good for us to know that there's no electricity in heaven. There is no sun or moon or stars in heaven to give us light. Why? Because there will be no longer be any light, and they will not have any need of light there either, because they will not have a need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign with him forever and ever. God himself is light there in heaven. In his light we see light. In his light we walk in the light. And there is no darkness there in heaven. And same book, Revelation 21:22, it says, I saw no temple there in it. You know, in heaven there is no temple. Because on earth only God said, you are the temple. There is no physical temple on earth for new covenant believers. There is no temple in heaven, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And in the daytime, it says, there will be no night there. Imagine being in a place where there is no night at all. Here we wait for the night to rest and relax after a hard day of toil. We want to rest and relax. But in heaven, it says it's a continual day. It's a huge day. You can say eternity is like a day. There is no night there in heaven. It's there in my Bible. In the daytime, the gates will never be closed, because there will be no night there. And nothing unclean. You want to go there, see the condition. Nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. My dear brothers and sisters, it says again in the same book, whosoever did not find his name written in the book of life will not enter there. They will be thrown out. And make sure, dear brothers and sisters, and friends and visitors, that your name is recorded there in the book of life. And that can happen only when you acknowledge that you are a sinner, lost, without hope in God, in Christ, because of your sin. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one righteous, not even one. So that includes every one of us. So we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me in my place on the cross. I accept that substitutionary death of Jesus. And I believe that he died for me. Please be merciful to me. If you say that prayer in your heart, meaningfully to the Lord, and repent of your sins and ask him to forgive your sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to make you his child, son or daughter of God. Then you will have that assurance. Then you will be born again, a new creation in Christ. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So may you be a new creation if you are not one, as it, so that you can enter into this glorious kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Praise to his name. Amen.
It's a wonderful good news. The good news is Genesis 1:4. God saw that the light was good. The light was good. What is the light? Light is goodness of God. The light was good, and so what God did, God separated light from the darkness. When God saw us living in sin, he saw darkness which is not good. He decided that I will extract darkness and make it light, and that's good. I remember someone said like this. See, we always say God is good, God is good, and God will tolerate anything. But that person said, that godly man said, God is good, that is the problem. God is good, but we are not good. We can't mix. That's why Jesus had to die. God is good because God saw the light. Light is good. God always calls light good. But if I have darkness and I'm not good, for God to look at me and say, yes, you're good, I must have light. So Jesus died and rose again and granted that light through the Holy Spirit. But now many people say, oh, salvation, when I'm born again, I am saved. No, that's not the thing. Salvation, many times we have heard, has kind of three tenses. That I am freed from the guilt, saved from my guilt, saved from the wrath of God. When I am born again, I am cleansed. But salvation is not complete. Salvation continues. And my battle is to overcome sin. And then one fine day when Jesus comes, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. That is when the salvation is complete. So here, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this cause, because woman was taken out of man, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There was no father and mother at this time. But God commanded, this was the first commandment. See, God is saying, leave your father and mother, whatever it is, and then cleave to your wife. We have heard that unless the leaving is not perfect or clear, and the cleaving will not be clear. That is what God is working in our life. God wants us to leave this husband called world and be cleaved to the husband, heavenly husband, Christ. So here, if my leaving is not clear, my cleaving will not be clear. That's what we see here. We read here in 2 Corinthians 6:17, what Brother Charles was reading. Come out from their midst and be separate. This is the heart of God. I was trying to see, Lord, what are you trying to speak to us? This is the heart of God. The Lord crying out, come out from their midst. Have an attitude to leave. Cleanse yourself. Because I am light. I can't mix with darkness. That's why it is very serious. Verse 14 says, do not be yoked together. That means what is common there? I think it says the light and darkness. You can't. What is the agreement? It's very difficult. The light and darkness, like petrol and water, we cannot mix. If we mix, water cannot be used. It cannot be used for drinking or scooter. But here I was thinking about this verse in Isaiah 52. That's the same reference. Verse 11. Depart, depart. This is the heart of God. Every day we must hear, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me? The Lord says, John, I want to help you. Brother and sister, I want to help you. I want you to be close to me. You can be close to me? Only when you have an attitude to leave what is darkness and cleave to what is light. Here the Lord is saying, depart, depart, go out from there. Do not touch nothing unclean. Don't touch. See, we are exposed to so many things. We must have an attitude. Lord has cleansed me and he paid the high price now. Lord, I want to keep myself clean. Brother was mentioning about as a living sacrifice. Means I must recognize what Holy Spirit is doing in my life. He is trying to point out whatever is unclean. Sanctify. I think Paul says that sanctification is the will of God. For us. Here it says, go out of the midst of her, purify yourself, you who carry the vessel of the Lord. That is, we have the body, temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the vessel. The Lord wants to come and dwell in you. Lord cannot tolerate darkness. That's why we say when we break bread, we say, if you're walking in light, please break bread. If you're not walking in light, if something is not settled, like brother was mentioned, if you have something against your brother, please cleanse, because you are not in light. The light is not there because darkness has captured. When you have darkness, any part of your life or heart, you cannot break bread. You cannot say, oh, I am one with the Lord. I'm committed to the Lord, or I'm committed to the body. No, you cannot say that. That's why cleanse. And then verse 1:52 says, awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. That's the garment of Christ. That's righteousness of Christ. Clothe yourself. Then you won't have darkness. You are cleansed. You can come boldly to the Lord, to the throne of grace. O Jerusalem and holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust Raise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Jerusalem. See, we are called church. What church means? The word ecclesia, it's a Greek word which says an assembly of people who are called out of the world to God for his own possession. We are called church, a people who are called out from the world to become God's possession. How can we have anything common with the world? We can't cleanse ourselves. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Here it says, verse 31. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And here, if we go behind, Paul talks to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, Jesus gave himself to the church completely. So that, what's the goal? The goal is he might sanctify her. He might sanctify her. He might cleanse her or separate her, call out and bring her out of this world from darkness to light. He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. See, this is the responsibility of husband, and also here it is explaining what Christ has done. He might present to himself. See, one day we will be married to Christ. But for that, today the Holy Spirit has come down to help us so that we will move from darkness to light and we cleanse ourselves. That's why I said salvation is not complete when you are born again. Salvation will be complete when Christ comes, when we are removed from this sin-cursed world and we are joined to Christ. We have to endure until the end. So he might present to himself, today he is working, but how many of us so conscious or alert to cleanse ourselves from every part of darkness, everything? That's why Paul also says certain people cannot have part with eternal life. That means they cannot mix with God because there is darkness. That's what he says. Present to himself the church in all her glory. See, this really encourages. See, that Jesus is working in our midst to present to himself. So wonderful thought. Where when her husband sees very sick, one man sees a sick woman, and he's a doctor, and he goes after her, and he says, I will work, I will do surgery, I will do every medication, treatment, and ultimately, one day I'm going to marry her. This is the picture here. So he is working so that one day he will marry her. That is the picture we also have. So we are sick. We are dark. But Jesus says, I will sanctify her. I will work with her day and night so that I'll separate her from darkness to light, so that one day I will marry, present her to myself. So that's why our cooperation is very, very important. Cooperation to the Holy Spirit. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. That means light. She'll be light. And then he says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, but as Christ also does the church, because we are the members of his body. Then he says, for this reason, verse 32 says like this, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Church is somebody who is called out. We are church called out from this world We need to recognize our calling. And then the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." This is that abstain. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality, and it goes on about sanctification. It speaks. That's why, brothers and sisters, we need to understand God's burden. The Lord saw us that we were darkness, and He started the work of salvation then, separating darkness from light. He saw light is good. I want my children to have light. I want them to shine as testimony. That's why I think Philippians 2 says, prove yourself that you are a children of God, that live without grumbling and disputing. No grumbling, no complaint, no matter what happens. And then by that you prove. Because grumbling, complaining is part of darkness. And you are light. You are children of light. And you cannot have part with that and can have relationship with me. May the Lord help us to understand and cooperate so that He'll be able to help us. Amen.